listening to The Real Girl Podcast. Find us on styledtosparkle.com and on iTunes. Subscribe today and have the latest episodes delivered to your favorite listening device. Hey there, sparklers. Welcome to episode 3 of The Real Girl Podcast. 7 things to know when traveling to Japan. Of course, Japan is an entirely different country than those in North America. And so with that, there are just some things that you need to know about how they're different and how you can adapt when you're there. So let's dive right in. Number 1, manners and customs. So one thing that you'll notice when you're in Japan is just how polite and hyper considerate everyone is of really just their fellow man. It's something that I find is a bit irritating now that I am back in North America, where people just don't seem to have the consideration for others that we seem to get accustomed to while we were traveling to Japan. So it might just be something that, you know, we can all learn when we go over there and bring home and hopefully make North America a little brighter. So when it comes to manners and customs, I would say that in general, something that you should know is when you see somebody bow to you, and when I say bow, sometimes that's even just a slight nod, it's usually because they're silently thanking you for something. So when somebody does this, I would suggest to bow back or just slightly nod to about the same degree as they have, so that you're being thankful and showing appreciation and acknowledgement as well. So something too that they also do is they say thank you over and over. So be conscious of that and say thank you back. They'll almost always give you the right of way on the street. And so just be considerate of those around you as well. Another thing that they do is pre-meal hand washing. So you'll be given either a hot towel or a wet nap before your meal so that you can wash your hands before eating. If you were to get takeout or say you popped into 7-Eleven for a snack, they'll put wet naps in the bag for you. They'll also provide you with a straw for every drink you buy, even at convenience stores. Eating. Now, manners while eating, I think that we all think that we're pretty polite here in North America, but something that they don't do in Japan is walk while they eat. Doing that is generally frowned upon, except for in the case of soft serve ice cream. So most street vendors or little kiosks where you can buy food have areas for you to sit or stand so that you can eat what you've purchased before moving on. The other custom that it is important to be cognizant of is when you pay for things. There'll be a tray on the counter or next to the cash register where you can put your cash or coins that you're paying with or your credit card. It all goes into the tray rather than handing money directly to somebody. That in Japan is just considered impolite. So definitely acknowledge that custom when you're there as to not offend anybody. Okay. Item number 2, language. So I mentioned this in episode 1 of the Real Girl Podcast, but it's definitely worth reiterating. Just about everybody you'll encounter will speak English, maybe not fluently, but definitely enough. And so for more information on getting around and what to expect from a language perspective, definitely check out episode 1 where I answer your top 5 questions about traveling to Japan. That all being said, what I'd like to add here is that you don't need to know how to speak Japanese to get around, but learning a few basic phrases is helpful. So here are a few that I think are worthwhile learning. Arigato gozaimasu. You will hear this a ton. And what it really means is thank you very much. And because the Japanese people are both very polite and very thankful. So when you hear it, regardless who says it to you, repeat it back because it's only polite. Sumimasen. This is the equivalent of excuse me, and it's quite a versatile expression. You may be trying to move through a crowd, or perhaps you've bumped into somebody by accident. A quick sumimasen or gomen nasai sumimasen is both polite and indicative of your intentions. Konnichiwa and sayonara. Hello and goodbye. It's friendly to greet shopkeepers and other people you encounter with a friendly hello and goodbye. Other than that, whatever additional Japanese words you learn are completely up to you and not entirely necessary. But I thought that these are just a little bit helpful for getting around and being as polite as the locals are. Okay, number 3, no tipping and what to do when giving gifts. Japan is a tipless society, so definitely be conscious of this. Tipping is considered rude. And when I say tipping, I mean for maitre d's, for wait staff, for perhaps the concierge at your hotel. Tipping them is considered rude. But if you really want to show your appreciation to somebody, perhaps a tour guide or somebody like that, I suggest a small gift from home. So here's an example of what we did. While in Japan, we took a knife making course and we brought gifts from home for the bladesmith and the translator to show our appreciation. So for our gift, well, we're Canadian, so we brought mini bottles of maple syrup that were shaped like the maple leaf. And our hosts were absolutely delighted and just completely flattered that we would even consider having brought a gift from home for them. But we really wanted to show our appreciation for the experience, for them opening their home to us. The other thing with gifts that you should know is when giving a gift, make sure that you're handing it to the recipient with two hands. And if the gift is wrapped and they don't open it in front of you, don't feel slighted at all. Some Japanese consider it rude to unwrap gifts in front of others. Number four, face masks. Okay, the bird flu isn't going around right now, and the Japanese are not germophobic people, and they're not thinking that they're going to catch some massive infectious disease from those around them. That's not why you're seeing people wear face masks. You'll see people with medical masks, and that's because they are either sick themselves, they will wear a mask for even the slightest sniffle, or because there's pollen in the air and they suffer from allergies. So when you're in Japan, it's absolutely immaculate, so you're not going to see any pollution in the air, but with the number of flower and tree blooming seasons that they have, there are definitely pollens and other allergens that are going to be blowing around. So really, the masks are because the Japanese are considerate. They don't want to infect other people with whatever potential virus they may have, or they're just trying to protect themselves from getting run down from allergies. Number five, perfumes and colognes. Now, the Japanese are a very clean society, and they generally don't wear any scents at all. They would not want to offend anybody with their perfume or cologne, or infect anybody who might be allergic. So this is something to keep in mind. So I suggest forgoing the Axe body spray, perfume, or cologne as to not offend anyone else while you're there either. Number six, how to dress. So I mentioned the modest style of the Japanese in episode one of this podcast, so you can definitely give that a listen for some more information on that. But I'd like to elaborate on it a little bit more here. The Japanese are a modest society, and they always look nice in the way that they present themselves. So you won't see any low necklines or short skirts or anything like that. You'll also won't see the Japanese wearing any athleisure wear unless they're actually doing an athletic activity. I would shy away from leggings, yoga pants, and anything that isn't fairly modest. You'll also see a lot of women wearing skirts, but they'll all be at or below the knee. You'll see them wearing sleeveless shirts when it's warm out, but never something strapless or spaghetti straps. And if you see someone in short shorts, it's often someone under the age of 25, or they've got tights on under their shorts as well. Now, if you do see somebody wearing something strapless, it's likely a modest midi dress or something that's T-length, not a crop top or a tube top with short shorts or anything like that. Now, I'm not saying don't be yourself or express your personal style, especially because Japan is so accepting of everyone's individual style. Honestly, it might be the only place I've ever traveled to where there seems to be a place for everyone and every single style in their culture. You'll see people with pink hair streaks and platform boots, LA Spice Girls, walking alongside someone dressed in mostly beige, and you will see a lot of beige. Number seven, dogs. Okay, this is one of my favorite things about Japan. Dogs are held in very high esteem in Japan, and several of their breeds are actually considered national treasures. It's actually on their government website. If you don't believe me, do a little Google search. So you'll see a lot of dogs that are toy breeds, as well as their prized Akita and Shiba Inu breeds. So if you notice a dog, owners will often stop to let you pet the dog almost every time. And when I say when you notice a dog, usually it's like, oh, Shiba, so cute. And they will stop and be like, oh, do you want to pet my dog? And yeah, we always did. Something that you'll also see are animals in strollers and in bike baskets. And I would say 90% of the dogs we saw in Japan were wearing clothing of some kind. They also sell kimonos and samurai outfits for dogs too, if that's the type of souvenir that maybe you'd like to pick up for your pooch. There are also what are called dog stores, and they're basically what we know to be pet shops, but don't be concerned about puppy mills or harmful breeding practices. I'm sure that you have Sarah McLachlan running through your mind right now. No, that's nothing to be concerned about. These puppies and kittens all come from reputable breeders, and the employees at these shops are really careful to ensure that animals are not overhandled. So if you want to hold or pet a puppy that's actually at the pet store, you have to be a serious buyer and you have to have made an appointment prior to visiting the shop. Now, if you are a foreigner and you are looking to purchase a puppy from one of these shops, might I suggest that you make an appointment and bring a translator with you to help with the process? But if you're not, window shopping is both fun and it's really fun to see the cute little guys, and they'll just make you want to take them all home, honestly. So it was really fun to see all of the cute little Japanese puppies while we were there, but it really just made us miss our puppy Hattie so much. And honestly, I would love to take our little cockapoo Hattie to Japan with us because I think she'd be a real star. I personally think that she's one of the cutest dogs in the world, and I think that the Japanese would think so too. Okay, with all of that, I have a little bit of bonus information that I think I need to share with you guys when it comes to traveling to Japan. So there are a few places that you will be shopping from a fair bit. And the first of those places are vending machines. And you're like, really? Vending machines? Like, I'm not at a hotel lobby or on a hockey trip or something like that. No, seriously. Vending machines are everywhere. You'll see them on train platforms. You'll see them outside stores, outside of train stations. You'll even see them on the sidewalk of residential areas. Now, these vending machines have all sorts of drinks, bottled water, iced teas, green tea, milk, coconut water, juices, literally everything you can think of from a drink perspective. I think some of them even carry beer. And you'll also see a ton of different snacks. And those are things that you're going to need while you're on the go. Now, a lot of people are thinking, yeah, but a vending machine is going to gouge me. I need to go and stock up at a grocery store or something like that. No, you don't have to. The prices at the vending machines reflect the prices at places like 7-Eleven and grocery stores. So you're not going to be worried about getting price gouged or anything like that. It's also really convenient because it means that you don't have to stock up on bottled water and then carry four bottles in your backpack all day long because you think, you know, every option to buy water along the way is going to be expensive. It's just not something that you even have to think of. So you can just buy it as you need it, which is great. Now, with all of these drink containers or snack containers, you're probably going to be looking for a garbage or a recycle bin. And so somebody had asked me, do I need to bring a little garbage bag with me to carry this around, you know, until I can find something or until I get back to my hotel to dispose of it properly? Here's my tip for you. Look for vending machines. And I say this because recycle bins and garbage bins are often either in the same vicinity or right next to the vending machine, generally so that you can dispose of whatever you had before, or if you're going to stand there and eat your snack, and then you can dispose of the wrapper. The other places that you will be shopping a lot are 7-Eleven and Family Mart. So Family Mart is a Japanese company, and 7-Eleven, I think we all know 7-Eleven. And it is the 7-Eleven that you know. Minus the Slurpees. I didn't actually see Slurpees, which was a bit disappointing, but these stores are literally on every corner, or at least every second corner, in absolutely every neighborhood that you will go to. So you can get anything there, from prepared food, drinks, candy, socks, umbrellas, souvenirs, cheap toiletries, literally everything that you can think of that 7-Eleven has here, minus the Slurpees, you can get there, plus a whole bunch of other stuff that you've probably never even heard of. The other place that you will go shopping, and you absolutely should, is the 100 yen shops. And my favorite of those being Daiso. So these dollar stores are an absolutely amazing find. They're a great place to get really inexpensive souvenirs, umbrellas, candy, snacks, and all sorts of other things. Now, you might be asking yourself, why has she mentioned candy and snacks like 1,000 times in the last like 2 minutes? Because the snacks and candy in Japan are like nothing you've ever experienced. So if you're just looking for something to do for half an hour, I would suggest going to a Family Mart or a 7-Eleven and just checking out all of the options of what you can get for snacks and candy, because we can't get anything like that here. And you'll probably end up filling up half a suitcase with unique Japanese candy, because it's honestly, it's just amazing. So I hope this episode was helpful in planning your trip to Japan. And if you're looking for more in-depth information on what to expect when traveling to Japan, then I suggest checking out episode 1 of this podcast, where I answer your top 5 questions about traveling to Japan. And if you're looking for more information on what to pack for your trip, because you're not 100% sure what you'll need for this particular adventure, then I suggest checking out episode 2 of this podcast, where I share all of your must-pack items for this trip. If you still have some burning questions, or maybe you have a topic in mind that you'd like us to cover, drop us a line at info@styledtosparkle.com or head over to styledtosparkle.com and check out our great blog content. As always, thanks for listening and happy traveling. Thank you for listening to The Real Girl Podcast. Find us on styledtosparkle.com and iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe today to have the latest episodes delivered to your favorite listening device.